Hey guys, Brock here. Welcome to the podcast. Just want to introduce this podcast guest, Mr. Teddy Bass. What an amazing man. From celebrity personal trainer to spiritual teacher, this gentleman really has it all. Teddy moved from North Carolina years ago to LA to really pursue something greater than what he was raised up with, ended up becoming a very, very well-known celebrity personal trainer, which he still practices. A few of his clients, just to kind of give you an idea of the caliber of people that he worked his ass off to start working with, Lucy Liu, Christina Applegate, Jennifer Lopez, Cameron Diaz, and so on and so forth. If you just Google Teddy Bass, you'll see some pretty amazing stuff. This episode was really fun, though, because we literally had a section before this recorded section that you're about to hear, which kind of got lost in translation. It wasn't very clean. It wasn't very good recording. But these last 45 minutes are gold, you guys. So we talk a lot about gratitude as a grounding practice, some meditation, some mantras, some things that you can really implement in your daily life to just feel better, just to be happier. And he's just a ball of energy. Teddy has a wonderful perspective. He's a gay man, a single dad who has an 11-year-old son, which is challenging in and of itself. So just great perspective. You guys are really going to love this. He's a man full of confidence, but who has had the struggle. He's really come through a lot of challenges. And I think you're going to really feel that deep emotion and just genuine nature as you listen to this episode. Teddy's got a new book out. I'll tell you guys where to find that at the end. And enjoy this episode because it is fantastic. Enjoy.
Good. I'm just trying to see. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Great.
So we got into some stuff and then had some technical difficulties. We're good to go now. I wanted to finish up and I wanted to get a little bit more into your book. And I know it's just having written one myself, like I know how long and tedious it can be. And so I'd love to get into kind of the inspiration behind the book and just everything that inspired you. So maybe just start off with telling us what inspired you altogether to write this.
Well, let's talk about difficulties.
Let's do it.
Because you're talking about difficulties, and I'm just coming out of difficulties with being a single parent and the holidays and mood swings and this book and getting it launched. So I think it's amazing that we had some technical difficulties because that's kind of what life is about.
100%.
And I think that's where my book came from. You know, I sat with my book for over 3 or 4 years, and some people that I've known for many years have read it and they're like, it's the easiest read. It's going to be so great. You know, this is what I've been hearing you talk about for 20 years. And it's just so interesting that I feel like maybe part of the people who knew me or how I was trying to do my business, it was just hard to marry my spiritual and my personal training business because people just want results.
Right.
And people don't understand that it's more than just what you do in the gym, that to have real, sustainable, impactful change in your life, you have to look at other aspects of your life. And I'm only saying this, Brock, I'm not trying to like educate anyone, but I've been a spiritual therapist since 2001 and my life wasn't always great and it still has its ups and its downs. And not until recently when I actually made some personal changes and seemingly sacrifices and decided to look at areas of my life, how I could improve, did my book actually finally go to a publisher? Did the book actually get to be read and to now be published. And that is kind of exciting for me because I am living testament to the tips and the affirmations that I came forth with in this book. And did I actually become into practice to make it all come to fruition? So I guess to say what I went through was I went through my own life obstacles. I went through my own life's journey of ups and downs, recognizing that I wasn't a great parent, that I could be better. Even in my seeming career, things weren't maybe where they used to be. and trying to find out, well, this is an opportunity for me to sit and to let the universe or God or whatever the people that are listening to this podcast may believe in, but something higher than me had to take effect. And that's kind of what's happened with this book.
So as busy as you've been for so long, and you wear many hats, you have many different types of clients, you know, for you, when did you find the time to write this thing? I mean, when did you actually get on the keyboard and start letting the words flow out of you?
You know, I think it was probably four years ago when I wanted to do a book based on, you know, and I'm now 53 and I'm turning 54 in July. So I'm going to say maybe 5 years ago was when the seed was planted in my mind, where I was like, people are like, oh my God, you look incredible for 50. I was like, whoa, I'm not 50 yet. How did you do it? And I was like, oh my God, I should write a book on 50 tips to being fitter at 50. And a lot of my friends were like, dude, you're going to shut out so many people by saying at 50, because so many people can use these tips before they're 50. So that's kind of where my co-writer, Amika, who I met years ago, who used to interview me for magazines, she's like, let's come up with something else. And that's where Affirm Fitness came in, because the affirmations aspect came in a couple years ago when I coined that word. Because I love affirmations. I've done them for years and they've worked for me. But when I came out of a meditation, I said affirmations to my spiritual therapist. And she said, write that down. So it took me 2 years to get it trademarked. So now I have the word trademarked, affirmations. And it just felt so much, because I always say, move it and lose it, or working out's got to be fun. So the reality is, sitting on your ass isn't going to get anything done. It's not going to get anything accomplished. So affirmations, amazing. But affirmation means that you actually take something in your life that you want to shift and activate it, and you get it in movement and in process in your life. So that's kind of how the whole thing came together. Let's do tips, body, mind, and spirit. Let's do a take action that people can take home and do for themselves. And then let's have a statement that they can literally activate in their lives in that moment, and they can pick it up and put it down as often as they'd like, because they're not broken down into how you need to read it or what you need to read, but it's an easy read. You pick it up, read it, read one or two, put it down, and see how they can be active in your life.
I love that, because I think so many people are passive. You know, having the information is not the issue. It's what people do with it, obviously. So I think that's incredible. And so I want to go back to the word, though. So, because that's brilliant, because I too believe in affirmations. I think Tony Robbins is probably the first one that kind of tipped me onto that when I was much younger. And doing them while walking in the morning for me was always more effective, because you're engaging your body. It just felt better. So does affirmations have to do with the actual movement of the body? Could you walk us through maybe a couple examples?
So essentially, it's just a positive statement. So, I mean, I'll just hear, this is how I'm signing my book. So when I say now, I want you just to randomly say the word yes.
Okay.
You feel so impelled, and hopefully it won't take you forever. Because when I start doing this, I'm going to flip the pages of the book. Okay?
Okay.
So now.
Yes. That was super slow.
Great. So I got to an affirmation page, and it's affirmation. This day I start with a breath. I meditate and allow the day to expand. I realize there is enough time, enough energy to do all things that I have listed with ease and grace.
I love that.
That affirmation came on, you know, on the tip. I'm trying to go back to the tip. And the tip is don't be listless. So it's just about making lists so that people don't get overwhelmed with what they're doing through the day. So motion for me is allowing those words to become active in your life. So yes, if you're exercising, look, my whole book is about interacting and connecting and allowing the body and the mind and the spirit to all be in alignment so that we can have integration within our body so that we're connected on every area of our lives. And what I mean by that is I was just at Universal with my good friend and his two children that flew in from Philly. And I took a picture in the line and there were like, you know, 50 to 100 people waiting in line. And literally over half were all on their cell phones.
Yeah.
No one was engaged with their children, with their spouses, or anyone. And I looked at my friend and said, look at this. And he said, that's what happens now. No one is connected anymore. So I just kind of, I think I wrote this, this book came out of me to try to help people to be connected again. And so that affirmations, literally people can actually allow their own mood, their own vibration, their own choices to be made for themselves and not by social media, not by advertisements, not by commercials, that they can literally set a precedence and choose how they're going to feel that day.
I love that. Teddy, I'm very, very curious to kind of tap into your brain regarding your own morning routine a little bit, you know, and I know you get up early. I know you are doing personal training, of course, as well. But what are some practices or things that you do in the morning just to start kind of forming the day the way that you would like it to be formed?
You know, I would love to say that I have an exact perfect rhythm. But what I can tell you is it changes daily. But what I know works best for me is to wake up 15 minutes before my child wakes up. Because that way I am so in sync and I am so on. I get my meditation done. I get everything that needs to be done. I get my shower list. His breakfast is ready. Then I can actually go throughout the day. And I'm going to tell you, that is so successful for me for most of the time. And you said, what is it that I do? I make a choice to wake up and literally be, I find one thing I'm grateful for. And whatever that looks like, I let that permeate the whole day. And so, you know, this day, I'm grateful that I have three clients that are back to back, you know, and, you know, tomorrow I'm grateful that I have a client who bought 25 books that I'm signing. So I just find something that I'm really grateful for. And other days, I was sick 2 days last week. This morning I woke up and I go, oh, thank God I'm not nauseous.
Yeah.
You know, because they always say, if you have no prayer to speak, just speak gratitude first.
Absolutely.
And that in and of itself sets forth an ease before your day is ever said. And I may have said this in the first part of the interview, but form, if form really follows consciousness, everything starts in the mind. So everyone always asks me, why do you always say you're amazing? When I love that you say you're amazing when I ask how you are. I'm like, because if I'm not feeling it, at least my mind gets to hear me say it. And
that's
so that's
true.
You know, it's been kind of my thing. Everyone's like, oh, how are you? I'm like, I'm amazing. And somebody's like, are you really or are you faking it? I'm like, well, look, is acting as if or faking it till I make it? Which one works for you? Because the reality is I don't wake up every day wanting to wake up every day. You know, I think I did speak to this. You know, there's some mental illness that's in my family. And I lean into that because I've got some issues where I overthink things. I'm a little OCD. I'm this and I'm that. So I wake up every day. I'm grateful that I'm fucking alive, Brock. I'm grateful that I have a job. I have clients that want to see me. I'm grateful that people call me for prayer. I'm just grateful that I can actually be, do, and have all these things that I have. Because trust me, I live in LA, and I have a beautiful little house. But I have to tell you, I'm around a lot of big houses, a lot of big cars, and a lot of big personalities. So I come home some days, and I'm like, damn, I wish I could make my house bigger. Damn, I wish I had smooth stucco on my house. Damn, I wish I had a Maserati or a Tesla. But I have to just wake up every day going, thank God I have what I have, and I'm healthy, and I'm whole, and I can be here for my kid. You know, we're so inundated with what we don't have. I just try to remind myself, just be grateful for what you have.
That's right. And do you find that, you know, going back to, I know you kind of studied under Dr. Michael Beckwith. I mean, do you find that that gratitude practice is ultimately, that is, that's the game. I mean, that's how you really attract more abundance and greater happiness into your life. I mean, what have you found that to be the case? Like just period, 100%?
110%. Because if you think about it, if you look at the biggest market right now is self-care. And people think that it's some big thing. All self-care is that if your tank is empty, you don't have anything to give. So we talked about parenting. You know, I have to remember, if my patience is short and I'm cutting my kid off, I'm not connecting with him, then that means I got to check myself. And so in the prayers that I speak from Agape, it's a 6-step prayer that used to be a 5-step prayer. But guess what the first step is?
What's that?
Gratitude. I am so grateful in this moment that I get to be still and recognize that there is something in this universe that is working together for my highest and my best good right here and right now. And I'm part of it. It is who I am. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are that I need to have another $1,200 in the bank to make my mortgage or that my car is broken down and that I need to have it fixed. None of that. Those are all circumstantial situations that are literally a blimp in the screen. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to shift and change, but it's what I give the meaning to them and it's how much time I spend on them. So it's a daily practice. Listen, I've been a practitioner all these years and I still have to be reminded by just having this interview with you reminds me of what it is I'm meant to do on this planet. I thought it was to be a great personal trainer or to be a celebrity personal trainer and be identified with who I work with, but it's not. It is literally for me to give back what I've been given. And that is the gift of the practice of meditation, prayer, spiritual mind treatment, and that we do not have to be a victim of our circumstances or our history or our past.
Wow. That's so true. I want to go down that trail for just a second about, you know, being a victim. Because, look, you know, I'm not naive to thinking that there's certain people that aren't born with more or blessed with more or their circumstances are more favorable. I mean, that's just a fact. But, you know, for people that have kind of gotten stuck in this rabbit hole of feeling like they're a victim and life's not fair and this and that. And I'm asking you this because I know you've had your share of challenges with everything, with your upbringing and everything else. How would you encourage someone to break out of that victim cycle?
So what I try, because you cannot deny anyone's past.
Right.
But what you have to do is we live in the now. So you just asked me about it. I try to tell people, give me one thing you're grateful for. I was sitting with someone last week and they couldn't think of anything.
Wow.
Because they were in such dire straits of active victimhood.
Yeah.
And it's a very real stage, but not until you can shift them. So I said to this person, are you grateful that you're breathing? And he literally said, oh my God, are you kidding? Yes. I said, even in the midst of all this that's going on. And he said, yes. So just start the person where they are. Find one thing you're grateful for. You know, it's very easy for us to think about what's not working in our lives. But if you take a moment and start to think about what is working and you spend more time on what is working, then you actually become much more independent in your life and more capable of making greater choices. I got on a phone with a woman recently. She literally listed everything that wasn't working in her life. And I'm going to tell you, the list went on and on and on. And I said, I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you have a cell phone? And she said, yes. And I said, so your cell phone's working. She said, yes. And I said, and are you paying the bill? And she says, yes. And I said, great. And are you talking on the phone right now? And she said, yes. And I said, that's three things you can be grateful for. You have a phone bill, you're paying the phone, and you have a phone. And she goes, oh, wow. So Reverend Michael says this thing, which I love. It's called human interruptus. So sometimes you actually have to interrupt people in their own train of thought because they're so inundated by the excessive, obsessive amount of seeming negativity that they can't even see a way out. So we have to break the box for them. And that's what we are. You know, it's like we're human highlighters of the good because we see enough bad on the news. We see enough bad in our past. We see enough bad everywhere. But in reality, right in the midst of it, I'm not trying to change anyone's mind or ideas about the world, what's happening right now with different people in different countries, and even in our own world and society. But the reality is, it's one person at a time can make a difference. With, they say that one thought can impact 10,000 negative thoughts. One positive thought can impact 10,000 negative thoughts. And if I can be one of those that can impact all of those, I'm for it. And so that's kind of what I'm about.
Well, that's so powerful. And it's just fascinating that we're talking about this because I interviewed a local ABC reporter who's fantastic, but she's around a lot of catastrophes. She's around fires and tragedy and, you know, everything that the news often reports on. And I said, how do you balance self-care and not going to bed freaking out every night from all the stuff that you see? And again, it rooted back to gratitude. And she said, you know, I just realized someone always has it worse than me and someone always is going to have it maybe better than me. But it was that gratitude that just rooted her and realized there's just as much good, if not more good in the world than, you know, atrocities that are happening. So
yeah, and bottom line, Brock, it's choice. We can choose to be a victim or we can choose to be a victor. It's the same letters. V-I-C-T-I-M or V-I-C-T-O-R. You know, it's like Reverend Michael said this weekend, sorry to keep saying his name, but he's just such my teacher. But he said, we have to act like we're the star of our own movie. Because the problem is, it's like everyone else has taken over. You know, the media, our coworkers, our spouses, our children. It's like, no, we're the star in our movie and we get to write the script.
Yes.
So take your power back. Don't let everyone that's had it have it. You know, divorces happen. People get raped. People are abused. All of those things happen. I don't know if you're a moviegoer, but I just went to see Instant Family with my child this weekend. And it literally tells the exact story that I went through adopting my child through the county of Los Angeles. And
wow.
It's so powerful and so impactful because these kids go through this, you know, this activity of acting out of their own seeming experience of being not loved.
Yes.
And put it from house to house. And then all of a sudden they get to feel what it's like to be loved. And you know, it's a four-letter word, but we're so going through life seeing what doesn't work and what's different than what we have that we can't just love the other person. It's like, you know, that old scripture, love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. Well, God forbid anyone in the world does that because we're so busy seeing what's different and pointing out what's wrong with everyone else. So
yes.
Imagine just taking a moment and going, you know what, today I'm going to love myself. And then that way I'll have more in my fuel tank to be able to give and to love other people. Because to love someone doesn't mean you have to like them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Let them do what they do, even though you don't agree with it, whether it be homosexuality or their race card or, you know, who they work for, who they voted for politically. It doesn't matter. You know, I love my family and they're all freaking Republicans. But it's hard. But what do I do?
Yeah.
So
at the end, we're all human.
We're all human and we're all trying to get through this thing called life in the way that we can and how we were raised and how we were brought up to believe.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you about this because I think a lot of people could benefit from having this conversation a little bit more about self-care as a parent and as a parent myself and about to do it all over again, literally starting over. You know, it's very easy, I think, for parents to get so, it's a beautiful thing in one way, but they get so stuck in only paying attention to their kids, and their kids become their life. And oftentimes parents kind of get downtrodden, they get worn out, they get stressed, they're not taking care of themselves. So look, I know it's a balancing act, like for everyone, you, me, even the best of the best, but like, what have you found that works in terms of that balance of being an effective parent, loving your child, but also making sure you are really taking care of yourself?
Look, most people know what they don't want. But if you start to think about the things that you do want in your life and the things that mean something to you, for me, self-care is making sure that I'm continuing to do the things that bring me joy or happiness. So I have to make sure I get my workouts in. I have to make sure that, you know, once or twice a week I go either to the beach or on a hike. I need to make sure that I'm getting body work. I need to make sure that I'm reading a book that brings me enlightenment and expansion in my mind. I wrote my book. That was a big thing for me to finally get done. It sat around for 2 years with nothing really happening. And then I started doing some step work with a program I'm doing. And within 3 months, everything shifted. So self-care to me is maintaining time in your schedule to do the things that bring you joy, so that when you come back to your family, whether it be your child or your spouse or everyone else, your tank isn't running on E.
Yes.
That you've taken care and done some of the things that bring you joy. And I'll give you a for instance. I have a friend who's having some issues with their spouse, and they are not, you know, they're just not clicking on all cylinders. And so I said to them, what's your happy place? And they were like, what? And I go, well, what's your happy place? Like, my happy place is the beach. When I go to the beach for a couple hours, it resets me, it recharges me, and I get remotivated.
Yes.
Well, guess what? It's a week later, and that person still has not texted me a picture or a name of their happy place.
Wow.
So do you see what I'm saying? People are so resistant to get out of their own story that, God forbid, they have to give you an answer to something that brings them joy because they're so happy in the misery. So self-care is being willing to love yourself enough to find some stuff that makes you happy. Look, I got a girlfriend. Guess what her self-care is?
What's 30
that? Minutes a day, journaling.
Mm.
Something I cannot stand to do. But if she writes,
yeah,
it literally allows her to empty her mind and her creativity onto paper.
That's beautiful.
And I love it. My other girlfriend, guess what her happy place is? Let her bake a cake for somebody's birthday. And that stuff is creative. It's amazing. It's tasty. It's full of sugar, but it's done with love.
Yeah.
So that's her happy place in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So it's like, find it. Everybody's got one, but it's unique and individual to everyone.
Yes.
But it may take a little time. But God forbid you'd focus on yourself and not all of the shit around you that's creating your disastrous life. But
yes,
you'll see that it makes such a difference. I mean, my kids, like, sometimes will go, did you go to the gym this week or today? And I'll laugh at him. I go, you know, I need to go to the gym. He's like, go. So I love that when I have given my kid permission to re-instruct me on what I need. Sometimes I just let him take the wheel.
Yeah.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Well,
you know, and for me, I'm not a great singer, but I love to sing. So I've been singing in a choir for, you know, 20 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
yeah, I mean, I want to just say this. I grew up in Utah where, you know, kind of the Mormon culture mixed with kind of an odd state culture in many ways is very, very old school, and the women stay home with the kids and the husband's out working. I mean, obviously there's other states where that is a little more of the norm still, but I have extended family and relatives that I have heard kind of complaining, oh, well, easy for you to be so happy doing all these things that you love when I'm stuck at home with three kids and I have zero time for myself, that's something that I just so want to crack. Like, I wish everyone could know, like, if you want it bad enough, if you want to really find that happy place, like, there is a way to do it, whether it's get a freaking babysitter or swap kids with another mom so you each have some time. Like, just the excuses, so, though.
I can speak to this personally. And what I had to do is I had to call bullshit. Because I would say, oh, I can't go to a movie, or I can't do this because I have David. And my dear friend said to me, it's $15 an hour for a babysitter. You yeah. don't drink. You don't eat a lot of crap. So going to a movie for you is on a date is $50.
Yeah.
Plus, so I think that all boils down to, Brock, it's not a bad thing. It's just people's self-worth.
Yeah.
They don't realize that when they choose to stay in that stuck story, they're choosing unworthiness. They yeah. need to realize that they're worth it to take an hour to go get a mani-pedi. I mean, people can't believe I get mani-pedis. I'm like, sorry. When I moved to LA, one of my great friends, Gunnar Peterson, who I used to work with, we used to work really close together. He used to take me and we'd get mani-pedis, you know, every 2 weeks. And I'd be like, what am I doing? Guess what? I stopped biting my fingernails. I used to be a massive, massive nail biter. And I yep. stopped biting my nails. But it just gives you a feeling. You got to do something that makes you feel good. If a mani-pedi makes you feel good, do it. All these women who sit around and complain, if you look at every study that about unhappy marriages, it's because the woman never gets out of the house and does her hair and her makeup and looks good for her man.
Mm.
And please let me not sound sexist. Not for their man, but for themselves. If yes. you look at any dating app or you look at any TV show, guess what? When they're going to meet someone new, what do?
They're getting dressed
they
up.
They get all freaking dolled up.
Yep.
But no, I've been married to this man for 12 years. He got to love me for who I am. Well, honey, that's not what you said when you went on those first 20 dates. You looked hot as shit for him. Now you're looking all frumpy and don't want to work out and don't want to put makeup on? Why do you think he wants to look at other people? Or why do you think the guy wants to look at other men? Whatever the case may be. But you know what I'm saying? People have yes. to take responsibility for themselves. It's either self-care, it's self-worthiness, and it's how you feel about yourself. Sorry, so a little crazy. Because I'm the same one. So it's like, I want to go on dates. I'm single. I've been single for 6 years. I'm ready. And I sat back and wondered what was wrong with me for all those years. And now I know the universe was protecting me so that I could take care of my kid.
Yeah.
And now I'm at a place that I can look at myself and go, wow, I was never ready for a relationship. I had to deal with all this emotional belief systems that I had based on this unworthy, unhealthy little kid that I had within me. But guess what? Now I feel good about myself. I'm in a great space physically, health-wise, mentally, and everything. So guess what? I know I'm a good match to get what I want because I now became who I wanted to date. So it's a win-win situation. But the problem is it's not easy. It takes yes. work. But it's work in progress. It's not work load. It's a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. I'm getting better every day. And I can finally say that. It's like, you know, and it's not from an ego state. I used to think I was hot because of my body. Now I'm hot because I'm like, I'm pretty intellectually stimulating. So I can actually talk to someone more about then how much they weigh, how much weight they lifted on a bench press, and what they're doing tomorrow night if they're going to a circuit party. You know, I have way more to talk about. And right. I had to let go of my own judgment toward the whole gay culture.
Yes. So, you know, I want you to speak to this too, because I think this is a really good point. There's people who kind of just go and look, more often than not, it's people that just kind of need to break the cycle, but they go kind of from one relationship to another, thinking that they are complete based on the other half in that relationship. And a lot of people get this anxiety when they're single, I think. And, you know, I've had friends that have been single. I said, look,
you know, guy or girl, I'm like, look, this is your time to work on yourself. Like, raise your vibration so high that you attract someone even higher quality than the disaster of last time. What would you speak to on
speaking, that? You're speaking to the addictive behavior. And this is just so funny that you're talking about this, because I just went through 8 months of Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. And I'm still in the process. I'm on my sixth step. But people like that is exactly what you just said. They base their worthiness based on if they're desirable. And then they go out and they get someone who's a perfect match for them for where they are.
Yes.
In reality, exactly what you said is so key. If people actually did the work to become exactly who they wanted to be, then they would become a perfect match for the next person in the next relationship. The problem is, a relationship should be exactly what it is. It's a time to grow, because a relationship is going to bring up all of your dysfunctions. And so if you're willing to work on it, you'll stay in it. If you're not, you're going to go to the next one, and you're going to keep repeating the cycle. So it's been a godsend that I've been single for 6 years. And finally, at the end of the 6 years, don't think that it's because something's wrong with me.
Yes.
It's because I actually got to, well, it actually, I did get to admit what was wrong with me, because now I'm actually correcting those things and learning that they were all based on old beliefs that I had about myself, based on experiences that I had in my childhood that I had no control over. And so now I get to actually choose what I think about and who I want to be around. And it's okay that I'm happy to go on a self-date now. You could have never told me I'd enjoy going to a movie by myself. But I've done it twice in the last 5 months. You would never tell me I would get enjoyment by coming home, reading for an hour, and then watching All American on TV. But which now I can't watch that show without my son. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like, people are not comfortable being alone. And instead of it being a bad thing, we can just do a little inner work and go, what is it about me that doesn't feel okay by myself? And how can I empty that little trash can, scoop as low as I can, as uncomfortable as it is, and get rid of those beliefs so that I can actually operate from a different and a better and a more loving, self-caring place for myself.
So good. And so many people struggle with that. So many people.
Well, you know, because we're not taught what it's all about. You know, we grow up thinking that everything has to be perfect, and we have to grow up thinking we have to have a certain skill, we have to have a mindset, we have to know what we want to do, and we want to do what makes our parents happy. And no one, God knows what they went through. So, you know, I look at that with my kid. What makes me happy is that my son picks up after himself. Well, you know what? That's not his calling in life right now. He helps me, and he now cleans up, he puts his dishes in the dishwasher. And I think we talked about this before. He just now learned how to tie a shoe this year. He's 11, but that was a big thing for me. But my friend said to me, dude, he's going to be able to tie his shoe when he goes to college. Relax. And that like gave me so much freedom. I was like, oh my God, take the pressure off of him. Let him do what he wants. You know, everyone complains now about kids not writing in cursive. And finally, this year, my son is in the sixth grade. He just got a teacher that is concerned with it. So guess what? For 3 years, I've been trying to get him to do cursive exercises. I printed up these exercises 2 years ago. Guess what he did over Thanksgiving break? He did the entire alphabet, these sheets that have all of the letters for two rows, and then two letters for the rows, and then a word with that letter, and then sentences. So he went through all the alphabet with no resistance.
That's awesome.
We did like five a day or whatever. Now he didn't. But guess what? There was no resistance, because finally I waited until there was an opportunity instead of making him do it because I wanted him to do it.
Yes.
There's a teacher that has an expectation for him to be able to sign his name by the end of the school year. I go, oh, dude, let's get a jump on this. Let's do this before Christmas.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? Parents, or I'm speaking for myself, parenting becomes very hard because we want to control our child instead of actually working with their the things that aren't, they're not so skilled at, really enhancing what they're really good at. And I'll give you one more example. I have these friends, Happy and Tina, and they're incredible trainers, and they live in LA, and I've known them for years, and I haven't trained with them forever. But, you know, we find out about people's lives on Facebook. And this is a prime example of how people get into depression. I see their son, who's in the 11th grade, and they put together his 11th grade reel of all these incredible football passes that he made and these runs that he did. And I literally was like, oh my God, I've done the wrong thing. I'm a trainer and my son, you know, he's playing baseball, but I want him to be all pro and blah. I ran into Happy at the bank today. After years, I haven't seen this man. And that was like a universal God shot. That was a God shot for me to go to him and thank him. But also I got to clear up some of my inhibitions because I thought I was doing a bad job. He goes, are you kidding me? My kid didn't start loving football till the 8th or the 9th grade. He's a junior now. So we pressure ourselves by social media. When we just, if we'd have a conversation, I took off so much pressure off of myself because my kid's only in the 6th grade. And I have these expectations for him when I want him to enjoy his life. So in retrospect, I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing. There's this word I hate, Brock, and I'm going to say should. I shoulda, I woulda, I coulda. It's like so pressuring. Oh, I should have taken him to a pro. Oh, I should have been doing lessons. No, you're doing exactly what you can and what you are doing right now.
Yes.
My father used to say the funniest thing. He's like, should in one hand and shit in the other and see which one gets filled first.
Oh, it's so true. And I think there's some cultures in the world that actually don't even have a word for should or could have, you know, should have or could have. It's just you either do it or you don't, or you did it or you, you know, it's interesting. Can you speak? This is the last thing I would love to just jump into, Teddy, because I think being in the, you know, personal training world and, you know, a city that certainly is sunny a lot of the year and people very concerned often with body type and body image, and adding social media now where people feel like, oh, they need to look a certain way. How do you feel like comparison in general can really just derail a person if not handled properly?
Okay. So it's so funny that you said that. I speak to my friend about this all the time because it's my biggest issue. And it's like you hit it. My little motto I've been saying recently is compare not. Because I literally used to compare myself to everybody. And oh my God, they're bigger than I am. Oh my God, they drive a G-Wagon. Oh my God, they have a 4,000 square foot home. Oh, they have 3 kids. And here's my biggest one. Oh my God, look how much their child looks like them. Because I adopted a Latino and I'm a white boy. I'm an Irish German from North Carolina with an accent, you know? So my point is compare not. Don't look until you can look at someone else's excitement and joy and literally revel in it. You're probably going to be stuck in envy. And when you envy something, You're claiming for yourself that I don't have it.
Yes.
But as soon as you can start going, oh my God, look at that. She's driving a brand new G-Wagon. Oh my God, look at that. Her kids are so beautiful. They're twins and they look just like them. Until you can change the resonance that you have with something, you're always going to have that I don't have vibration. And you're telling the universe, oh, I don't have it and I don't want it. So my big motto now is act as if. If there's something you want in life, act as if you have it. Like right now, I'm acting as if I'm speaking in front of a lot of people. And just so you know, I'm going to say it right now. This is my first podcast that I think I've ever done, especially for my book, but that I've really felt like I've embodied who I am and who I'm becoming as a mature adult. Because I think I was this 53-year-old man running around with a kid mind. You know, Brock, I felt like I was just never growing up. And now I feel integrated with every aspect of my life like never before. And so I know this is going to sound weird, but I just want to thank you for, you know, sorry, for giving me this opportunity to be able to speak from my heart and to say what I want to say. And to, if I can inspire one person to stay off of social media, if it doesn't work for you, turn the shit off.
Yeah. Because,
let me tell you, I know a lot of people who have got a lot of lives, and I've worked with a lot of those people that start with a K, and their lives are all glamorous, but in behind the scenes, it ain't all that pretty. And if you can talk to most people on social media, me being included, but yet my life literally is kind of cool right now, but we put our best foot forward.
Yeah. Some,
I look around now in LA and wherever I go, and people are taking these selfies. They don't take just one. They take 34, and then they post the best one.
And then edit it.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't do that. All my shit is unfiltered. All my shit is unedited. You know why? Because I ain't no techie. I don't know how to do it. So some people are like, why did you post that picture? I'm like, because that's what I freaking look like. I'm not editing it, making it look like I have no wrinkles. I'm 53 and haven't had Botox in 3 years. That's what you get. Sorry. So my recommendation for people is compare not. And if it's not working for you, do a little self-care. Don't look at it today. That's the problem. We're so tech savvy. We're disconnect society. It's like connect to the person in the elevator. That's my favorite thing. I say, hey, what's up? And they look at you like you're an idiot. I'm like, oh, sorry. No one's talked to you today. So it's just fun. But that's all I can try to advise to people is find the things that aren't working for you and try not to do them as often.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, really good point. I mean, it's often, it's very sad when people get in such a cycle where they can't think of anything they want. Well, if they figure out kind of what they don't want or what's not working, oftentimes it's just, hey, you need to do the opposite to find what you want and what's working. So that's so good. Well, Teddy, this has been amazing. I think this is, when we string everything together, probably the longest podcast I've done, not because we meant to do it that way, but just because it's been so wonderful. And I want to encourage everybody to pick up your book. So what is the easiest and best way to not only get your book, but just to, you know, find you, keep in touch with you either on social channels or email or whatever?
Well, there's two. So you can go to teddybass.com and there's a link there, or you can also go to Teddy B Fitness on Instagram. I also have a Teddy Bass Facebook page. It's pretty easy if you just put Teddy Bass and just know that I'm not the one from the famous movie. I pretty much come up on social media. And the book is Affirm Fitness, but if people can't remember that, you can just go to teddybass.com/book and it takes you right to it.
Okay, wonderful. And when we post this episode up, we'll have links to all those. I'll make sure that happens. And
you're also amazing.
Also a picture of you so they can see your beautiful unfiltered face.
Awesome.
So, well, Teddy, thank you so much. I really hope we can, you know, do this again. We'll have you back in a few months and just do an update, because I know we could obviously talk forever on various topics. So thank you so much again, and really appreciate you being on the show.
I look forward to it. And thank you so much, Brock. I really appreciate you actually getting out there and giving people some inspiration and trying to shift the awareness and consciousness of the planet.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Peace.
Peace.
Hey guys, Brock again. One more thing. I really hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Hopefully you could tell that there's just a lot of emotion in this episode, and Teddy is truly one of the most happy and grateful people that I have ever come in contact with. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of that episode. Please feel free to connect with Teddy, on his website, which is teddybass.com. If you go to his site, you'll find all the details on his new book,
where you can buy it. And I'll tell you guys, I've started going through his book, and I'm actually not quite done yet at the time of this recording, but it's fantastic. Very simple, very easy to implement practices, and just great perspective. It's absolutely an easy read, but a wonderful read that you guys will genuinely enjoy. So go to teddybass.com. Make sure you connect with him on all the social channels, and also just check out some of the really cool stuff he's done with his life's work. It's pretty remarkable. So thank you guys so much for listening. And again, always looking forward to your comments, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.